Romans 8:28. I want us to look there real quick. It's going to be up on the screen. This is what it says. We all know this verse. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Now, when I read this verse, I think it's very easy for us to see when good things happen to us, how God works it for our good, right? I got a job promotion, so my bank account's looking mighty fine, right? Or I got a girlfriend, and so I'm not lonely anymore, right? All these, when good things happen to our lives, it's easy to see the good that God is working. What's not so easy is when bad things happen to your life, when you lose your job, when your girl leaves you, okay? When you fall on the mud on the way to an interview and get your white shirt completely jacked up, when the bad things happen to you, it's not so easy to see how God works it for good. And what I'm learning is this: the difference between those who are mature and those who are not yet mature yet, I'm not going to say immature, the difference between those who are mature and not yet quite that mature is all about perspective. You see, the mature believer just has a perspective that's beyond what they can see with their natural eyes. And listen, what we're going after with this wholeness series is learning and growing to a point where we could see beyond a perspective that is skewed, where we could see through the eyes of the one who has the best vision of anyone in the universe. And so that's what we have been going for. And listen, your perspective will always shape you. How you see the world will shape who you are. One thing I'm realizing is this. In this wholeness series, we dug up a lot of, I just want to say it, dirt. Come on, can I get real? We dug up a lot of stuff that's not so pretty, right? Amen? We dug up stuff that was painful. We dug up stuff that was ugly. We dug up stuff that was covered in dirt and filth. And I think it's easy to just look at that and just see this is just a pile of dirt. But I think it's another thing when God is beginning to heal us, where we look at that stuff that we uncovered that looks worthless, that looks ugly, that looks broken, that looks painful, that looks nothing like good, and we see through God's eyes and see what it's really doing for us. I want to end with this revelation. The place of your greatest pain becomes the place of your greatest strength. Let me say that again, because that is tweetable, okay? The place of your greatest pain becomes the place of your greatest strength. That means the place where you were wounded, the place where you received that pain that was so painful that it was unbearable, that place that every time someone kind of wiggles their finger around it, you automatically feel that pain that is, ouch, that place that's the most painful in your life actually becomes your greatest strength. Now, I had a chance to work with this amazing ministry in Kansas City called Exodus Cry. And I met some of the most amazing people that I have ever met in the world. Some of the most courageous people. Women and men who have come out of the sex trafficking industry, who were raped repeatedly, again and again, caused psychological trauma from as young as 5 years old, by relatives, multiple times a day. I met some of these people. And when you look at their lives, probably the first thing you're going to see is all this dirt, all this pain. But it's so powerful when you see people who have gone through the dirt, who have gone through those painful, unimaginable, traumatic experiences, but see how God took that bad and turned it for their good. You see, I met some of the most courageous people in this ministry who took that bad, gave it to God, and he transformed it into something beyond anything they could have done that is good. But it's the goodness of God that was displayed in their lives. Now, let me say this. It doesn't devalue your pain. Let me be real. Stuff's happened to you. You've been hurt. There's been painful experiences in your life, and that's real. And let me say, it doesn't make sense. You didn't deserve it. It wasn't part of God's magical plan. He didn't orchestrate, okay, Keone, you're going to go through this and this and this. Oh, that's going to hurt. Snap. You're going to go through this and that, that. God didn't orchestrate this grand plan for you to experience pain so you can grow. How many of you guys know that was the devil? See, the devil is literally out to destroy you. Every single moment of pain and trauma that you experience was not at the hand of God, but it was by the work of the devil. He's come to destroy your life. And I think we have this kind of conceptual idea of the devil. He's kind of like this red guy with a pitchfork, and he's kind of intimidating. No, he's trying to kill you. He's literally trying to ruin and destroy every part of your life. And so this is the first misconception I want to clear up. The stuff that happened to you, the painful moments in your life, the junk, that wasn't God throwing that at you. That was the devil trying to take you out. But how many of you guys know that if you're here right now, the devil did a horrible job of trying to take you out, because you are here and you are alive and you are chasing after God? Listen, the devil already failed. He is already lost. You see, it doesn't devalue your pain, but it gives you perspective of what it is. You see, the enemy tried to take you out. But what God does is he takes that which the enemy used for your destruction and turns it for your good. See, God took what the enemy meant for your destruction and turned it for your good. You know, Pastor Aaron is a pastor that we know in Korea. And she gave this powerful message one time about sailboats. How many of you guys know about sailboats? Me neither, okay? So I don't know anything about sailboats, but she gave this amazing illustration about when people are on the sea and the winds are coming against them. And she gave this illustration. A lot of us are trying to blow, you know, go through the sea, but the wind is like pushing us back. It's like pushing us sideways. We're going wayward. And she was saying that's kind of like the attack of the enemy on your life. You're trying to progress forward, but the winds of coming against you push you back and push you wayward. But the illustration she gave was this. What you have to learn to do as a believer is to just open up your sails and use the very wind that was supposed to keep you from your destination to progress you there faster. She was saying the very thing the enemy meant to push you back, to keep you down, to keep you dead, to keep you hurting, to keep you broken, God is going to use it to expedite your growth and your blessing. Isn't that powerful? And not only did he turn that which was meant for your destruction for your good, he turned it for the good of others. How many of you guys know what Joshua, what Isaac did today is they took what the enemy meant for their destruction and they turned it for the good of us. How many of you guys know that? That when they came up here, when they spoke, when they shared their story, they took that which was meant for their destruction and they sprinkled over us blessing. That's a powerful thing. So I want you to know that every attack of the enemy, God's turned for your good and he's turned for the good of those around you. But this is the most powerful thing. Y'all ready for this? This is going to be tweetable. Not only did God turn that which was meant for your destruction for your own good, not only did God take that which was meant for your destruction and turn it for the good of those around you, but God is taking that which was meant for your destruction and turning it upon the enemy for his destruction. You see, the very weapon that was meant to kill you, the very thing, the very experience, the very trauma, the very pain that was meant to take you out is actually your greatest weapon against the devil, your greatest weapon against the enemy. That area that hurts so bad that you ask God, why did this happen to me? I want you to see that in your life and see it as the greatest weapon to kill the enemy and the devil. See, that which was meant for your destruction has now become a weapon to destroy the devil himself. Can I get an amen? And we see this in Jesus. I want you to think about this. The place of Jesus' greatest tragedy was also the place of his greatest triumph. The time where Jesus was in the most pain was when he was hanging on that cross. And he's saying, God, why have you forsaken me? And on that moment on the cross, in his deepest moment of pain, More painful than anything you could ever imagine. He was in his greatest moment of pain, but in that moment of pain was his greatest victory. Come on. In that moment of pain, his deepest pain was his greatest moment of victory and triumph. Actually, the word of God says that he made a spectacle of the devil. He made a spectacle. He put the devil on the stage, tied him up, threw down his pants, and made everyone point and laugh. He made a spectacle of the enemy at that moment. You see, the greatest moment of Jesus' pain was actually the greatest victory in his life. What I want to tell you, church, is that your greatest moments of pain are going to be your greatest victories. The deepest wounds are going to turn the deepest breakthroughs in hearts. Isn't that powerful? And every attack and blow that the enemy put upon you, I want you to know it's coming back at him tenfold. Can I get an amen? It's going to destroy the works of the devil. See, what Anna, Joshua, and Isaac did today is they were destroying the works of the devil. Come on. They took what was meant for their destruction. They turned it and they beat in Satan left and right, clubbing his head. They using what the enemy meant for their destruction to take out the devil, to destroy the works and the lies of the enemy. Now, I want to consider the message version of this passage. It says this: he knows us far better than we know ourselves, knows our pregnant condition. I know some of us are men, but we're all pregnant, okay? And keeps us present before God. That's why we can be so sure that every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something for good. As we wrap up our wholeness series, you may not have all the answers. And some of y'all uncovered something, and it's just a slimy-looking thing with worms coming out. It's ugly, and you don't know what to do with it. It's just like there. Some of you guys have uncovered deep moments of pain, and it's almost like, why did I take this out? I don't really know what to do with it. You may not feel all that different, but I want you to know that your wounds are pregnant with God's goodness. That all that dirt you pulled out, those painful memories, those painful traumatic moments are pregnant with God's goodness. Now, I have never been pregnant, and actually I never will. We might be pregnant, but not anytime soon. Okay, just putting that out there. But as a believer, whether you're a man or a woman, you are all pregnant with the promises of God. Meaning there's something that God has meant for your life, for your destiny, that you are pregnant with. And what I love about pregnancy is this. It's weird. I'm a sick Korean, okay? We love suffering and pain. But I think it's so powerful that in the last moment of pushing, it's one of the most painful experiences for a woman. And I'm not saying I know, because I don't, okay? If I could get those electro things attached to me to feel the pain of it, I would, because I think it's beautiful. But it's powerful because that last moment, when the woman is pushing out the baby, they say it's one of the most painful experiences any human being will ever experience. And they're saying it's so painful that at the very moment before the baby is born, many women feel like, I can't do it, and I want to give up. What I find is this, that a lot of us in our lives, we're pregnant with God's goodness. And especially during this wholeness series, we uncovered all this stuff. And it looks like I don't know what to do with it. I don't feel any different. But I want you to look at that thing that you took out, that thing that you pointed your finger at. I want you to see it differently. I want you to look at it like a pregnant mama. I want you to look at it like it's pregnant with God's goodness. That will not only be for your good, not only for the good of others, but for the destruction of the works of the devil. I want you to look at that very thing that you looked at your whole life and said, why? And see that it is your greatest strength. It is your greatest victory. It is your greatest stake in the nail in the heart of Satan. It is that very thing that was meant to destroy the works of the devil. Now, I want to end with this. I want to invite the worship team up. What we're going to do today, because I gave a sermonette, we're just going to end with a few songs of worship. And we're going to end in celebration, okay? What we're going to do tonight is we're going to celebrate. And I want you to understand this. Number one, as we celebrate God's goodness throughout these last few weeks, Your celebration is also an assault against the enemy as we remember God's goodness. Now, one thing the Israelites often did is they set up altars wherever they went. And sometimes altars are set up as just sacrifices, as worship unto God. It's like when we come on Sundays and we worship God, that's like an altar. But other times, they set up altars for a specific purpose, and it's this. They set up altars to mark and remember important events, times when they experience God's faithfulness. And what I find is God does all these things in our lives, but we never set up altars. And so the next time something bad happens, we forget what happened. What I want this next moment to be, as we worship as a family, is I want this to be an altar that we are setting up today as a remembrance of what God has done. And so as we worship, I want you to think about this. I want you to think about everything that God has done, everything that he's taught you, everything that he's done in your heart, your mind, and your emotions, everything that he's done over the last few weeks. I want you to remember it, and I want you to funnel it up in thanksgiving to God. And tonight, as a church, as sons and daughters, we are going to offer up an altar, a sacrifice to the Lord. But also, we are going to set up an altar of remembrance. And when we look back on March 19th, we'll commemorate an epic end to an epic season of healing and wholeness, and we will remember God's faithfulness in the season. And this is my challenge to you. When you get home, I want you to write down your story. I want you to write it down somewhere. Y'all thought y'all were just journaling because it's the Christian thing to do. No, you've been setting up altars. You've been setting up altars in your little moleskin, in your little notebook, in your little Evernote file. You've been setting up altars. You ain't even know it. And in the moments where you forget God's faithfulness, in the moments where it's tough to see God's goodness, you open up that little journal and you see that altar and you remember he's been faithful. And because he's been faithful, he will be faithful. And so this is my challenge to you. Don't let this series pass by. Commemorate it as an altar tonight in worship, and when you get home in your notebook or your computer. And if you want to go a step further, email it to hello@sodasf.com. Why? Because if you tell your story to your notebook, you and your notebook is the only thing that's getting blessed. But if people hear your story, all of a sudden the blessing goes beyond you, the breakthrough goes beyond you. And all of a sudden, all who hear that story or read that story, their hearts are an atmosphere where God could do again what he did in you. And so tonight, why don't we all stand to our feet? We are going to worship God. And we're going to set up an altar of remembrance. I want every eye to be closed right now. I want you to think upon what God did in this season. I want you to think upon what God did during this wholeness series. I want you to put your finger on what he told you, what he spoke to you, what he revealed to you. I want you to put your finger on what he did in your family, what he did in your relationships, what he did in your thought life. And as you remember these things, right now, just begin to thank God. Come on, just begin to pour out your thanksgiving to God for everything that he's done over these last few weeks. Begin to respond in thankfulness in our worship to God. And so I'm going to pray, and we're going to enter into this time of worship, and then we're going to end service. God, I thank you, Lord, for your goodness that lasts beyond just a moment, but lasts an eternity. I pray in this specific season, in this specific time, you would begin to highlight everything that you've done for us, everything you've done in us. And I pray tonight we would set up an altar that would last the generations. We would set up an altar that would go beyond just our lives. We would set up an altar that would go just beyond this month or this series. But we would set up an altar that we would look upon and see your faithfulness. And so tonight, we celebrate you. We celebrate everything that you've done. Right now, Holy Spirit, would you take over the atmosphere? We give you honor. We give you praise. We give you joy. We give you worship. And tonight, we give you all of our hearts. Come on, church. Let's get ready to worship.